Our Father, we do thank you that you order all things, and we thank you that you've revealed to us what we need to know. So help us this morning to learn from you and so to act on it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, as we'll see, our passage this morning begins, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like." You might remember that we've seen lots of Jesus' teaching in Matthew, much of it prefaced by words like "the kingdom of heaven is like." But now he says the kingdom of heaven will be like. The focus is the future and what it holds. And of course, that's a question that's on many people's minds at the moment, including ours. But in particular, in Matthew 24 and 25, we've seen that Jesus is preparing his disciples for what is to come afterwards. We've seen the end of Israel being spoken of, the destruction of the temple, the fall of Jerusalem, and all that would show that now Jesus is installed as Son of Man, ruling the universe. And then Jesus spoke, didn't he, to disciples of what lay beyond that. And what he now talks about is also still future for us today, his return in glory. Do you remember last week he underlined that we don't know when that'll happen, the day or the hour? But because we know that he will return, that it'll be destructive, divisive, and sudden, we must keep watch. We must be ready. We saw particularly last week, Jesus spoke about serving Jesus' people. And now there'll be more from chapter 25. Now it's obvious, isn't it, for what we've heard so far, it'd be foolish to be unprepared, not to be ready for what the future holds. And in Matthew 25, there are three parables. And in the first one, we'll see, he helps us by showing us what it would be like to be foolish. So let's turn then to Matthew 25, page 1001. Jesus continuing to speak. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the wise, foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' While they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" So, how to be foolish? It's a wedding, a familiar scene. What we may not immediately realize is that as Jesus speaks of the bridegroom, we should realize, of course, the claim he's making, which will set up the rest of the parable. Various places in the Old Testament, the bridegroom is God himself. As we heard from our first reading from Isaiah, "Your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name." So Jesus is making a staggering claim, really, but all the more reason not to be foolish. But we're told 5 of these virgins, probably somewhat equivalent to what we would call bridesmaids today, are foolish. And we are to learn from them. How to be foolish? Well, here we are. Number one, look the part. So that's verse 3. "For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them." So you see there's the 10 virgins, but to look at them, at least initially, they'd look very similar. They'd be all together, maybe in a group. They'd be all at this wedding celebration as they were waiting for the final party. They'd all been carrying that lamp. And the point, of course, is looking the part is very easy to do. "The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead." Well, like last week, we all said that again this week, earlier in our service in the Apostles' Creed. We profess to be Orthodox Christians who believe in the rule of Jesus and his return. Each of us look the part. But Jesus wants us to realize there's more to it than that. The foolish virgins, in particular, took no oil with them. But the wise were different. Verse 4, they took flasks of oil with their lamps. Because plenty of people do look the part as Christians. It could be us. It could be us here in St. Bennet's. It could be in the wider church. But Jesus wants us to know there is a difference between the wise and the foolish. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with looking the part. And in fact, if you're the real deal, you can't help but look the part, just like those wise virgins did. But only the wise are ready for the return of Jesus. So how to be foolish? Number one, look the part. Number two, assume you have the right contacts. So it gets late, the bridegroom is delayed, the virgins sleep. Nothing wrong in that of itself. But at midnight, the cry rings out, here is the bridegroom, the summons, come and meet him. Lamps, of course, are needed. Lamps without oil, think of a torch without a battery, hopeless. And so sure enough, the foolish find themselves, well, in the dark. So they resort to verse 8. They said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. So you can see what the foolish are thinking. It'll be all right. We know the wise virgins. We'll use some of their oil. We'll be fine. Except they're not. Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. So again, did you grow up in a Christian home? Do you move maybe in Christian circles, been involved in Christian service, maybe in the past or still today? Maybe you're well connected with those who go to church, maybe even go to church with them. The problem with such connections and contacts, again, unavoidable in the real deal, but also they can breed complacency. I'll be all right, you see. If this is all right, if there's something to it, should Jesus return, if it's really true he's going to divide humanity in two, then it'll be all right. I'll get put with the Christians I grew up with, who I went to church with, who I knew. Well, that didn't work for these foolish virgins. The wise take personal responsibility. So we're learning how to be foolish. Number one, look the part. Number two, assume you have the right contacts. Number three, presume it'll be all right on the night. Okay, so the foolish virgin's plan to use what the wise had hasn't worked. But not to worry, they think. They'll just get their own. Undeterred, off they go. They'll sort it out. They'll make it work. Can-do attitude. Verse 10. While they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Now again, we read this and we think in our lives, well, there's been many moments, haven't there, where we've been caught out by the unexpected. But as we look back, we think, well, it wasn't ideal, but we did muddle through, to be honest. I mean, we winged it. It was okay in the end. And that attitude starts to creep in, and we start again to think to ourselves, should Jesus actually return in glory, in person? It will be okay. I wonder, are you lastminute.com? Jesus is saying, be warned. When he returns, it will be too late to wing it, to sort it out, to muddle through. Because the door will be shut forever. Because if we're not ready, it just won't be all right on the night. So three ways to be foolish so far. Look the part, rely on your contacts, presume it'll be all right on the night. Number four. Not know the bridegroom. When was the last time you went to a wedding? I wonder if as you arrived, maybe somebody at the door, an usher, said to you, are you with the bride or the groom? The assumption was that if you turned up, you'd have some connection to somebody at the wedding, in one of the wedding parties, if not both. And those virgins' role was something like that of a bridesmaid. So had we seen those 10 virgins preparing for the coming of the bridegroom, we would naturally assume they knew him. And those wise virgins no doubt did. They were welcomed. Come into the party. Great to see you. But a surprise in store for the foolish. Verse 11. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, open to us. They say, Lord, Lord. Now, you know, many today won't even say that about Jesus, that he is Lord, but plenty of others will. They'll call Jesus Lord. In fact, it rolls off the tongue quite happily. They'll mouth the words, maybe as part of a Christian meeting, but maybe outside as well. They don't mind saying that. Well, the virgins say it too, Lord, Lord. open to us. But verse 12, he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. You might remember, this isn't the first time we've heard something like this in Matthew's Gospel. Don't turn back, I'll read it. But you remember at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, Jesus really was coming to his conclusion, and he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Well, on the day when Jesus does return, when he is revealed in glory, there could be nothing worse, could there, than to hear those words from him, I never knew you. So really, the whole parable's in building to this point. Of course, those foolish virgins weren't refused entry on a technicality or anything like that. The bottom line was ultimately, as shown in all that they did, they just didn't know the bridegroom at all. And in the end, that was the only contact that really mattered, and they didn't have it. And Jesus is teaching all of us, the only contact that matters is a personal connection with him. Because remember who he is, he's the bridegroom. That is, he is the Lord God himself. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. And so Jesus concludes, verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. What does it mean to watch? How is it then we can be wise and not foolish in practice? Well, again, we remember Matthew 7. Straight after that last bit, this is what he goes on to say. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So those foolish virgins had clearly not listened to the bridegroom when he had said there would be a delay, that they need to be prepared because they were caught unprepared. And so with us, if we know Jesus, we will listen. We'll do what he says. We'll know he's coming, even if we don't know when. And so in these chapters in Matthew, as well as the rest of the Bible, we'll see what that means to know him and put it into practice, and we'll be prepared. So then on the day he comes, it'll be wonderful. Come in. Welcome us to the wedding banquet. I'll lead us in a prayer as we close. Father, we thank you again that the Lord Jesus reigns and that he will return. And thank you that he's prepared us by telling us all we need to know. Father, if there is any foolishness or complacency in us, would we today listen to Jesus and wake up and make sure we are ready? Would we instead be wise, listen to Jesus, come to him, receive all that he gives, and so can look forward to that day when he will welcome us in to the heavenly banquet forever. In his name we pray. Amen.